Well, folks, I have just been able to listen to, just prior to Sunday school time now, I've just been able to listen to another wonderful song, godly song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, from Brother Bobby. And it is a wonderful encouragement to have that prior to being in the pulpit. Today, we want to look at a different gospel is not another gospel. There is only one true gospel. Anything different from that gospel is cursed by God. There are not multiple gospels. This present evil age, I hope you just listen to what I said, this present evil age in which we live today is a most ungodly time. The breakdown of the family unit, lawlessness in the street and in all our country, the utter folly in our educational system today, corruption in our government and our legal officials in the courts, the overreach of those in authority into every area of our lives, the demonic delusion deceiving those involved in denying the reality of two genders. Folks, we're in a world of trouble in that particular area, not knowing whether you are a man or a woman or something in between. God help us. The undue influence of godless modes of so-called entertainment and a worldwide move to call good evil and evil good. And lastly, from the Bible, we see this, and it fits today. The Word of God is rare in these days. The true Word of God is rare in these days. No widespread revelation. 1 Samuel 3:1. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the first two verses. Now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God the Father and God the Son. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, are we not there? Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines or teachings of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. This present evil age, do we really realize the depth of that evil? This being true, let's see a major case concerning the doctrines of demons and lies in hypocrisy. I'm going to be reading the first 12 verses of the book of Galatians and actually looking at two of those in a more literal sense. Paul begins, Paul, an apostle, then he explains his apostleship. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him, who raised Christ from the dead. Now he goes back to his original greeting, Paul, an apostle, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. He is addressing Christians. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I love to mull over that. Grace and peace from God. There's great comfort in that. Who gave himself, Christ, who gave himself for our sins. What an important word, himself. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God, of our God and Father. Our deliverance from this present evil age is willed by God our Father. Folks, that's going to come to pass. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, folks, what we just saw there was what I like to call gospel truth. Gospel truth. Paul goes on, I marvel, he says to the churches at Galatia, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. Folks, this is talking about an inward call, a call, a life-giving call, an eternal call. Paul marvels at this. Those who were called are turning away to a different gospel. Now, I know your King James versions have another gospel. And let me show you why different may be a better word. To a different gospel, which is not another. Those are two very different words. Another and difficult. King James has them both translated another. To a different gospel, which is not another. There's only one gospel, folks. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. A different gospel is a perverted gospel. Now, I'm going to be reading literally, or more literally, the next two verses. Again, your King James versions are going to use the word another, I believe, where we're going to see a different word. Verse 8, but even if we, the apostles, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel to you contrary to what we have preached to you, accursed is he. Verse 9, as we have said before, even now again I say, he's repeating himself, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, accursed is he. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Folks, anyone in a pulpit seeking to please human beings should not be in that pulpit, folks. We are here to please God. We serve human beings, absolutely, positively. But we are here to please the Lord God. For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. That would be a bad place to be in if you're in a pulpit. If you're not serving Christ from that pulpit, accursed are you. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me, listen to this, is not according to man or to humanity. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught, but through the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is overwhelmingly important. He says he received the gospel through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ uncovered something for Paul and all the apostles. A different gospel, a contrary gospel, falls into the category of the doctrine of the teaching of demons that we just looked at a moment ago. Surely, the fact that those who preach and teach such a false gospel face the curse of God, surely that puts such instruction squarely among the doctrine of demons. Folks, do you realize the gravity of that statement? Many, many pulpits today are filled with people who are teaching the doctrines of demons. Now, I've heard one of those say that anyone who believes in preaching predestination and election is preaching the doctrine of demons. Folks, the Lord God's going to work all that out. He's going to work all that out at the last day. As the letter to the Galatians that we just read, it began and then it unfolded. As it unfolded, Paul is led by the Holy Spirit, made clear that human beings are not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ. To add works for justification is a different gospel and not authorized by God. God-given faith in Christ is accompanied by good works, but the good works do not save anyone. The good works of faith are an evidence of salvation, but have no saving power. I hope you heard me. Zero saving power in the works of the law. There are multitudes of professing Christians today. You heard what I said, professing Christians. And as the pastor says so often, you probably don't really know many Christians. Multitude of professing Christians today, trusting in and relying upon their works for their salvation. Woe to any so-called preacher who is teaching such a different gospel. Yet, some of these very same people hate the doctrine of salvation according to the sovereign grace of God. And I just mentioned that earlier, which is the very same gospel revealed to Paul and all the apostles by Christ. And may I add, this is so true of all of us, may I add, all true believers of the gospel of Christ receive the gospel by the revelation of faith. Listen to me. Faith's revelation. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 spell this out. The revelation of faith, faith's revelation. For I am not ashamed, says Paul, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God, for in that gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith unto faith. I pray that you have men preaching and teaching to you that are men of faith, bringing you the gospel of Christ. I pray as well that you are receiving what they are giving by faith. You are receiving that with faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. When God births us again from above by sending the Spirit of Christ into our hearts, we are given that portion of the fruit of the Spirit, which is the receiver of the revelation of the righteousness of God. Did you hear that? Part of that fruit, of course, we see that receiver is faith. The revelation is that the righteousness of God is Christ. Again, something that so many people don't want to listen to, don't want to hear. They can't believe such a thing is true. We who were given ears to hear, and eyes of the mind to see in the new birth, receive the God-given revelation by God-given faith. Faith is the receiver of that revelation. Without this, folks, without that, which is a gospel truth, there is no good news. There is no gospel. If there is no receiver of that gospel, folks, there's no gospel. Now, I'm combining some kindred truths from the letters to Titus and to the Romans and to the Ephesians. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, the gift of God. Though that may not be in context, it's still absolutely true. I've taken those things out of their context, but together they're absolutely true. The revelation received by faith is vividly illustrated in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 16. Verses 13 through 16. I'm reading from the New King James Version. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Who do human beings say that I am?" Excuse me now, I've read that wrong. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Simon Peter, Peter the Apostle, answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock will I build my church. Folks, now I know there are many who disagree, but the rock is not the profession of faith. The rock is Jesus Christ. The rock that this church is built on is Jesus Christ himself, which is what Peter just answered to. You are the Christ, the Son of God. And then, of course, you realize that there are numerous cases in our scriptures where Christ is referred to as the rock. Old Testament and New Testament. Now, I would also encourage you, if you don't think that that's as true as I say, please go back. I had a message on that very thing, that Christ is that rock. Now, I want us to consider some truths. And God forbid that I'm bringing you anything that's not true. Some truths that are so intertwined, so ingrained in the gospel. Truths that are ingrained, intertwined in the gospel, that we must consider these truths to be gospel truth. Now, I've used that several times, right? It's my position that to deny these truths, so intertwined, so ingrained with the gospel, and to teach and preach contrary to these truths, runs the risk of presenting a false gospel. Oh, folks, this is important. That's a very serious act of blasphemy and befitting of eternal condemnation unless those doing such repent. Repent of such serious error. Now, I want us to consider a number of scriptural truths that are held in ill repute, if I could only talk. I hope you heard that as well. Scriptural truths that are held in ill repute in the vast majority of professing Christians today. In those circles, those so-called Christian circles, which includes all denominations, the centerpiece. I was involved in it. I know what I'm talking about. The centerpiece of their doctrine is the free will of humanity. You dare not question that position because it is the holy grail of their presentation of what they consider the gospel. These people believe that human beings must in and of themselves and according to their own free will believe the gospel of Christ without the intervention of God upon their hearts and minds. Folks, I used to believe that. Sure did. Matter of fact, because I was athletically inclined and felt that I had great willpower, you know, when it came to eating and taking care of my body and getting rest and so on and so on. Great willpower. I was just the perfect candidate to be a Christian. I just had what it took. I believed that. Oh my goodness. Thanks be to God, He showed me His grace one day. No intervention of God upon their hearts and minds. I can do it myself. That is far, far away from the gospel truth. And I want us to look at some scripture. Scripture that speaks about these people left to themselves without the intervention of God upon their hearts and minds. Oh, I haven't mentioned these for a while, but was mentioning them almost every Sunday for a while. Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. God, and this is a testimony of God, folks. God has looked from heaven to see if there are any who understand or are seeking Him. He has found none. Did you hear that? Go to Psalm 14, Psalm 53. God has found none. No, not one is doing good. People on their own, this is the truth. People on their own have zero interest in the one true God. None. Judges 21:25 describes folks like that, and that's most of the people in this world today. Everyone does right in their own eyes. People left to themselves do not want to even think about the one true God. Psalm 10 verse 4. God is in none of their thoughts. What about the heart of human beings without an intervention upon that heart by God? Folks, that heart is described in Jeremiah 17:9. A heart deceitful above all and desperately wicked. Folks, don't be trusting your own heart if you're outside of Christ. And for those of you who think you're just strong-willed enough on your own to change that heart, Jeremiah has more to say to you from God's perspective, which is absolute and without error. Jeremiah 13:23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Please think about that. Or the leopard, its spots? Think about that. Then, of course, it follows, may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. Would you think about that for a minute? All human beings are accustomed to do evil unless God intervenes in their lives. Psalm 51 makes clear all humans are sinners from conception in the womb. Did you hear me? From conception. And Psalm 58 confirms that we go astray as soon as we are born, speaking lies. Romans chapter 6 speaks of humanity as slaves of sin. In other words, you have no possibility. Did you hear me? No possibility of approaching the one true God in that condition. Your mind and your heart are elsewhere. You have no will to approach God. And indeed, you are being blinded by the god of this age. Especially when it comes to the gospel. The gospel is what we're talking about today, of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe the gospel of the glory of Christ. And to add insult to injury, Satan's control of those who are self-willed goes even further. This should be a shock to most people, but indeed it isn't. It's something to be laughed at, considered utter foolishness. 2 Timothy 2:26 speaks of those who oppose Christ, and here they are being corrected by God's man, so that God's men should be correcting them, so that they may come to their senses, out of the snare, out of the trap of the devil, having been captured by him unto the will of him. Captured unto Satan's will. That's the word of God. So much for free will, folks. Remember, those outside of Christ have blinded minds. They are in darkness concerning Christ's righteousness. And the cold, hard truth. Listen to this, please. These folks are in darkness. The cold, hard truth about that is that those outside of Christ love that darkness. So many people are going, oh, these poor, poor folks. And the true people of God do think that way. But it's not being unfair. These people want it that way. Listen to John in the third chapter of his gospel. And this is the condemnation. Of course, I believe this is Jesus Christ speaking here. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and human beings loved darkness rather than light. Now, folks, that's just the truth. That's where they want to be, left alone by God in that darkness to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. A gospel preaching that mankind must be left to his own free will does not recognize the bondage of the will in those left alone by God. That is a contrary gospel to the gospel of Christ. A true gospel teaches the following truths concerning the will of mankind. First and foremost, from the book of Romans, so then, not of the one willing, nor of the one running, but of the God showing mercy. Romans 9:16. Listen, folks. Mankind's will is subservient to God's mercy. In other words, your will cannot be what God accepts until he shows mercy on you and frees that will from the bondage of sin and Satan. Now, folks, that's gospel truth. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive together with Christ. And when was that? That was when we were dead in trespasses and sins. He resurrected us spiritually from that death. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. That regeneration of our spirits, demonstrating God's merciful power, did what we could never do for ourselves. It gave us a new will. Psalm 110:3. Your people, God's people, those predestinated unto life, the elect of God that is known from eternity, your people shall be willing in the day of your power. For God is the one working in you both to will and to do according to the good purpose. Folks, that is a will freed from the bondage of Satan and sin. This is in accordance with the gospel delivered to the apostles, as we've seen in the Holy Scriptures. Would you, I close with this now, would you have this that we're just speaking of now, would you have this free will? Look to Christ. Look to Christ. John 8:36, the Lord Jesus says, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Folks, that is the gospel truth. Amen.